The Holy Spirit sometimes works upon our minds fervently. We then know with a sure knowledge which subject to address. I shall speak of the inherent necessity of learning more thoroughly the will of our loving Heavenly Father. While serving in Pennsylvania several years ago, I was pleasantly surprised to be visited by a member of a huge Protestant congregation. We exchanged pleasantries and discussed the doctrinal subjects upon which we could find benign agreement. Suddenly, he interrupted our conversation by stating, "You teach one belief with which I could never agree. It is your notion that as God is, man may become." He held a well-worn white Bible in his hand. I asked him to turn to Matthew 5:48. His nimble fingers quickly turned to that reference, and he read, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." He gasped and then hesitatingly agreed to man's great potential. We read other scriptures such as, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." He understood and found a new respect for our teachings. He left a wiser man, and I felt a renewed gratitude for the inspiring truths that we understand and teach. The young woman had almost left the church. While I visited in the distant city where she lived, she asked if we could talk for a few minutes, and I agreed. She had heard many of the misconceptions that our detractors have used to discredit the church for decades. We read from the scriptures for about an hour together. With a relief reflected in her eyes, she finally said, "I have been misled, haven't I?" I said, "Yes, you have." She was disappointed with what those erring enemies of the church were teaching, but was excited to find herself back thinking clearly again. All we had done was read from the scriptures together. Confusion and mistakes come when we forget the importance of God's word as our unwavering guide. A friend asked me several months ago why so many problems have been plaguing a number of the members of the church recently. I hesitatingly answered, "Well, in the last days, they're surely approaching when even the very elect will be deceived." He looked at me momentarily and said, "Well, perhaps that might be a little of it. But I believe the real reason that so many are wandering on strange paths is because they do not follow prophetic counsel to study the scriptures and to attend the classes in church." I've thought of that conversation many times. Would a person languish in self-pity and guilt if he understands the teachings of Jesus? "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." Also the episode when the master asked those without sin to cast the first stone at the woman caught in adultery. And then when they left, asked her, "Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Or how could an individual defraud his customers, employer or employees, if he understood thoroughly Paul's words? "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Such an individual would know that his life will progressively become more injured and that he will lose the spirit of discernment. How could anyone claim that we are not Christian people if they had even a minimal understanding of the original church as described in the New Testament, with baptism for the dead, the Melchizedek priesthood, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and teachers? Or how could an individual commit the heinous crime of child abuse if he or she remembered the protecting words of Jesus when he taught, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea"? Or would it be possible for a person to be caught in the subtlest human, subtle humanist philosophy that appears to be spreading everywhere if he thoroughly understood these words of Nephi. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precept shall be given by the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Or would our youth show in some instances almost wholesale disrespect for parents if they had carefully analyzed this verse? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Likewise, would the parents be more sensitive towards their little ones if they understood the concept taught in the very next verse? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Or would immorality be running rampant if people comprehended those precious words found in the first letter to the Corinthians, where we learn that a person who commits fornication sins against his own body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that our bodies are not our own, but have been bought through the sacrifice of Jesus. He bought our bodies and our spirits, and they belong to God. We surely are to take care of his possessions. Or would divorce be used so quickly as a solution to marital differences and frustrations if the loving words of our Heavenly Father, as recorded in modern-day scriptures, were understood more thoroughly? Thou shalt love thy wife with all thy heart, and shall cleave unto her and none else. And he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her shall deny the faith, and shall not have the Spirit. And if he repents not, he shall be cast out. Too often we forget our teachings and doctrines, and by so doing err to our own injury and to those we love the most. Within the teachings of God are found the answers to the dilemmas and challenges of life. The examples are endless. While the solution is fixed, it does not vary. What can we do to keep ourselves more in tune doctrinally with our Heavenly Father? There are three simple steps. First, attend our church meetings. Several years ago, we were given a meeting schedule that consolidated formal worship into a three-hour time frame. To each is given the identical commodity of 168 hours each week. The nave is given the same amount of time as the knight. The scriptural scholar is given the same amount of time as the doctrinal dumbo. Yes, for 3 hours each week, we are asked to attend our formal church meetings to become familiar with the Word of God. This is less than 2% of our time, yet too often presidencies hold meetings. Members visit in the hallways and leaders interview during this precious period. Yes, our leaders would lead better, and our counselors would counsel better, and our members, by worshiping more studiously, would be able to cope more enduringly and satisfactorily. What better lesson can a bishop, a Release Society or a young woman's president, a Melchizedek priesthood quorum leader or stake president teach than by being in a gospel doctrine class with his or her mate studying the Word of God? Children certainly become more committed to doctrinal learning when they see their parents with scriptures in hand going to church meetings and studying God's Word together. Second, study the scriptures with family, with other members, with friends, but also search the words of God in private contemplation. Search the scriptures as they relate to our priesthood, Release Society, Sunday school, young women, and primary lessons. Study the scriptures for additional enlightenment on how to be more happy and less frustrated in what only too often is at least temporarily a sad and dreary world. Each 4 years, we are guided carefully through all of the scriptures in the adult curriculum of the church. In a lifetime, each member can become a spiritual scriptorian instead of remaining a scriptural simpleton. How blessed we are to have our 4 books of scripture in an edition that includes efficient indexes, chapter headings, and other study guides, such as the topical guide. Last April, I was deeply impressed with the words of Elder Thomas Fines, When he reported to the First Quorum of the 70 the method he and his wife Helen used to study the scriptures, because his state conference assignments keep them from sitting together in the gospel doctrine class learning from the Book of Mormon this year, they studied the Sunday school manual together at home, carefully marking the scriptures as they went along. They completed their study of the Book of Mormon in just 4 months and were looking forward to repeating the experience again. Third, brothers and sisters, we are to practice what we learn and teach. To overcome scriptural stupor, we must put what we learn into action. The scriptures lived for those who wrote them, and we can make them just as real for us today if we will live by their teachings. Often the self-control exercised by one of our youth under a full moon results from remembering a scripture learned in seminary, priesthood, Sunday school, or young women's meeting. Often the discipline or integrity needed in a business interview or sales situation comes from a principle learned through personal scriptural study or from a well-prepared teacher. And how we appreciate and love you teachers in the kingdom. So often our single members are able to overcome discomfort, distress, and discouragement by making decisions that are based on gospel teachings. Yes, each of us is in the business of managing our own lives to be happy now and forever. We can do so only by learning and doing our Heavenly Father's will. Perhaps we would consider a man or woman foolish if he or she did not claim a rich inheritance. Yet how foolish we are if we do not lay claim on the doctrinal endowment that we have been given. May each of us attend our meetings regularly, study and ponder the words of God and our prophets diligently, and practice constantly what we have learned. These words I leave with you. In the name of our King, Redeemer, and Master Teacher, Jesus Christ, amen.